Lord, the one who is sitting here, I'm sitting here. We are encouraged to join the ranks of the right people and truthful people. Allah Ta'ala, in His mercy and His kindness, you give a detailed explanation as to how you identify the righteous. Because if Allah Ta'ala didn't identify, then each person will try and work out the righteous in his own way. Someone will say that this person here, you see a lot of karamat, miracles, so he will take him as his mentor, he will take him as the righteous person. Someone will say, you know, this person, he speaks very well, and he will take him as his guide, he will take him the person that he needs to follow. So each person will have his own benchmark, own interpretation, own definition of righteous. So Allah Ta'ala Himself, in order that we clear these doubts, clear our minds, He has outlined and given a detailed description of the righteous. You will see them, how will you see them, how will you identify them, how will you make out. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, it's a whole ruku, 19th Sifara Surah Furqan, and the last ruku gives a detailed explanation how you go about identifying them. He wants you to join them, then you need to identify, you need to be able to recognize them. Otherwise, He asks you to join up, now you don't know how to work them, how to work it out. Then you can have a complaint, alright, Allah, you did ask us to join, but we don't know. You didn't give us an explanation as to how we go about identifying the righteous person. So for our convenience, Allah Ta'ala revealed an entire ruku, Ibadur Rahman, and it starts off with Ibadur Rahman. The first word in the ruku is Ibad. So you are a reflection of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. If He is magnanimous and full of majesty, then you are an embodiment of slavery and servitude. So you seem like that. So in proportion to your understanding and recognition of Allah Ta'ala, then you see yourself to be worthless, hopeless, and a total failure. So that is the understanding of the magnanimity, the greatness, the comprehensive understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything in you, there isn't a good in you, a faculty in you that functions without His mercy. Your existence is because of Him. Your brains are because of Him. Your righteousness and virtue is because of Him. Everything is His. So when everything is His, then you understand that you are nothing. Everything belongs to Him. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is amongst the more frequented verses in the Quran. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. Everything belongs to Him. So then understand your position and understand the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala. Now you've got the picture right. So you are a reflection of the magnanimity, so you are total in servitude, total slavery. So everything of yours would be a reflection of your real self. I am this. So if someone tells you two words, then you don't want to be upset, because you're understanding the greatness of Allah Ta'ala and where everything's everything commences from. You understand that? So you will take it in stride. But if you didn't recognize this, then you will only take the praises of people. Right? You will not be able to live with this. So you will only look at your life partially, you won't look at it completely. And partial job is a partial job, it's not a complete job. Right? It doesn't work, it doesn't last. You made the atta, you made the dough, but you didn't put it onto the tawa to make it a roti. Will it be edible? You need that, it's an ingredient, you can't do without it. But it's not complete, because it's incomplete, so you can't take it. So now, like, you need the coolness of the atta, you need the heat of the tawa. Now it's complete. So when you reach that position of recognition, the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, then for you to go in the stride is easier. But if you haven't yet, then you're not yet here. But how beautifully this whole verse starts off, you know. So the ayat before this is the sajda ayat, but the essence of the first sajda ayat is to bow down. Right? And then this is an outstanding feature in the life of a Muslim. وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. So raki'un here means making namaz, but they humble, they bow down. They humble. So in anything, in everything, this quality of humility stands out in them. When that quality of humility stands out, then you won't ask, oh, I deserve this, I'm eligible to this, then why didn't this happen? You won't ask these things. You can ask these questions when you haven't understood the meaning of jihad, that you are a slave, you are not entitled to anything. So it came as a favor. So you can't grumble. You are Islam, and be pleased to Allah Ta'ala, inna li min ahli wa inna wa'adaka al-haq. My child is my family. Wa anta ahkamu al-hakimin. But full of promise is true. Because he was told, فَاسْلُكْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكَ. So you take on board of every species of animal a pair, male and a female, right? It means those animals that you will need and that cannot live in the water. So you take a pair of each of those animals as well as your household. So now here Nur is a mixed dua. Inda bni min ahl. Rabba, you promised my household. And the son is my house. Whereas Nur Islam had warned his son, irkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. So up to that point, it was not clear to Nur Islam that this boy was a Muslim or a kafir. It was not clear. You know, you see, you're playing tabla on both sides. So it wasn't clear. When it wasn't clear, so Nur Islam pleaded on behalf of his son, in the bni min ahli. So Allah Ta'ala warns him, cautions him, لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكْ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is not from your family, because his conduct isn't right. His ways aren't right. See that? So the family of a Nabi would be that person who conforms to that standards. And if he doesn't conform, it is not of the family. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكْ. So we'll have to work with the person to a certain point. Beyond that we'll say, now it's left to Allah Ta'ala. We worked, and leave at that point. Beyond that we cannot ask, why is this person not behaving like how I am desirous of? You can't say that. Otherwise, Nur Islam could have said the same thing. Right? So you work with the person with a certain limit, then you cut off at that point. Otherwise, life can become miserable. But I'm explaining this child, why is he not listening? So Allah wants you to work, but work at a certain point, then assign the effort to Allah, turn to Allah. Beyond that you can't. And then you work beyond that as though you are saying that I can make things happen. And this is that pride, this is that arrogance. And how will I appear amongst people? What will people say about me? What will people tell about me? See? So if that was grounds and a ground to be worried about, then Nur Islam would have been most concerned. Because now what will be my status in my community? So that was not the ground. He was worried about his child. It's my blood. And because it's my blood, well, what about this child? See? Well, now, look at the Nabi's response. When he gets the cautionary note from Allah Ta'ala, then immediately says, أَعِذُكَ أَعُذُبِكَ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لِي سَدِي. I ask your pardon, that I ask for some things that I don't have knowledge about. Right? So, if you don't know what something is permissible or not permissible, then you can't make dua for that person. Now you get women, you get youngsters going to university, going to all wrong, upside down places, say, Mullah, make dua for me. Now, was it the right place for a woman to go? If it was not the right place, then can you make dua for such people that are going in? Can you say now, maybe the intention is right, so let me make dua for them. Maybe the intention is not wrong, so let's make dua for them. Can you do that? Can't do that. If your child is going into a brothel and making dua, you know, then maybe he's going into the right intentions. So let's make dua for him that his going will be a success. Can you do that? So there are avenues, and you must understand that you can't make. So that's why he says, أَعُوذُبِكَ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لِي سَدِيبِينَ. What you're not clear about, you know it's haram or halal, and you can't make dua for that. And then that will amount to a wrong. Otherwise, Nuh al-Islam wouldn't have asked forgiveness. أَعُوذُبِكَ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لِي سَدِيبِينَ. I ask you for things that I have no knowledge. And again he says, إِلَّا تَغْفِلِّي. I miscalculated the whole situation. If you don't forgive me, then I'll be lost. Gone. So you see this ibad now, where it comes from. So then it makes you think, alright, Allah Pak starts off this whole discussion with ibad. So that means he wants you to get that abdiyat right. Before you can progress, you have to get this right, then you can progress. And that is why he starts off with abdiyat. And that's why he doesn't use the word Hizbur Rahman here. He used the word Ibadur Rahman. He could have said Hizbur Rahman, Allah Waleh. Could have said that. But he doesn't use that word. He uses the word Ibadur Rahman. You see that? So as though they are just waiting for the call of Allah Ta'ala and they would execute it because they understand that they are slaves. Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi was explaining the hadith, La tufaddiluni ala Yunus ibn Matta. Don't count me as superior to Yunus alayhi salam. So in class now, the students will ask, we all say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Sayyidul Anbiya, then why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to say, La tufaddiluni ala Yunus ibn Matta? So they give about four standard answers there. So the first answer they give is, this was before it was announced to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he is the Sayyidul Anbiya. Number two is this, that you're going to be doing a comparison that at some point you're going to be belittling someone. And if you're going to be belittling a Nabi, that's kufr. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saving us from getting involved into kufr. Don't do this type of comparison. That is why our ulama explained that you don't make your the comparison of your shaykh with others. Because if you're going to make a comparison, then you're going to be belittling someone. He must be a buzuk also, a great person, But now, you see, what are these people? My Sheikh is the only person. So you're belittling someone, then aren't you losing out? And especially when it's Allah wala, and you're belittling him, then won't you be losing out? So, yes, you will say that for my convenience and for my correction, he's the better person. But who is the best in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? That Allah knows. But maybe Zarwat, for my problems, then he's the better person. I haven't seen a person better than him. It's all right. But now to rate him to be the best, that's not your place. So you just, you know, for my reason, my situation, my problems, he's the better person, I will go with him. But now you see this procedure of precaution, how Ulama Islam explained this thing here. So anyway, the students are firing up the question now, but why did Nabi Sam say this? So the second reason they give is that so that he saves you from you despising any Nabi. And the process, you may lose your iman. Shaykh al-Islam Sayyid Ahmad Madri Rahmatullahi was active in politics, very active, super active, right? And then when it comes to politics, then people play dirty, right? Now I am supporting this man here, so I will run down that person. So if someone is not for him, then he'll run him down. Now he doesn't know the nitty-gritties of what's the present situation and how it will turn out to be. All he will say is, see, he is supportive of a Hindu. That's how we look at it, right? So he's not getting the holistic picture. He's just seeing it partially. And says, no, see, he's supportive of a Hindu state. The question is that, is it permissible to work for a non-Muslim government at any level? Right? Is it permissible to work at an official level for any government? Any official position? Because in principle, they're not in Islam. They are kafirs, mushriks, etc. But now you're working under them, will it amount to the fact that you are supporting the mission to work for them? Or is it totally impermissible to work for them? So, nearly all our ulama are unanimous that you can work. And they cite it from Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, Ij'alni ala khaza'in al-ard. When Qing understood, this man, he understands the whole thing. Right? And there's going to be a famine, and someone has to administer the whole harvest. He has to administer it from the beginning right to the end. Because the storehouses have to be managed, people's consumption has to be managed, and thereafter the distribution has to be managed for this to continue for 7 years. Here people get into a panic if there's a lockdown or a looting just for 1 week. Isn't that a fact? Huh? What type of ghabra people went through? Just looting or lockdown for 1 week, 2 weeks, people in a state of ghabra. Yeah, it's 7 years and he has to manage it, right? So can you see, understand now what an onerous task this is? Not a simple thing. 7 years to manage it, to manage the storehouses, to manage the distribution, to manage it and see that everybody is getting a fierce ration. So now, Yusuf alayhi salam is working under a non-Muslim state. You see that? Because the king was a mushrik at the time. He's non-Muslim, but he's working there. And he's working there, so can you say now he was doing something that was impermissible? Because a Nabi works on inspiration, revelation. He's inspired by Allah Ta'ala, so you can't say it's impermissible. So the Ulama Ikram explained that it's permissible so long as he doesn't require him to compromise in his deen. So King already made it clear, كَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَعْ. We established him. means we establish his authority. He could do whatever he wants without any type of interference. See that? So the government is not going to interfere in his department, that department of what I'm doing, managing the grains and seeing that it's being distributed evenly to the public. They're not going to interfere in that. No interference, no interruption. See that? So the question will come again that Yusuf alayhi salam, that he asked to be posted to this position. So to ask for a position, is it right? Whereas we are condemning that, that don't ask for a position. لَن نَسْتَعْمِلَ عَلَىٰ عَمَلِنَا مَنْ يَتْلُبُهُ. Person that asks for a position, that we won't appoint him. We won't give him that appointment. Here Yusuf alayhi salam is asking for that position. But if you look at the whole sequence, what happened exactly was that king understood now the predicament he is in. And he can't find a suitable candidate to administer the whole distribution for that long period. He can't find a suitable person. He's saying that I need someone, and I can't see anybody that is going to manage this for this long period. Right? Can you be of assistance? Then he says, Ij'alni. It's like person is on board a plane, right? And someone has got a carjack arrest. So they're making it known that the patient got a cardiac arrest. Is there any person that can sort this out for the time being? So there is a cardiologist, he's an expert. He knows how to do it for a short term, how to do it for a long term. He knows all these things here. But now, out of humility, he says, Hakir, Fakir, what I know. Will that type of humility be acceptable at that time? That humility is not acceptable because at that time there is nobody to manage. Now, then again, look at it from the perspective of Yusuf alayhi salam. If he's not going to go and join this bandwagon, then it will result in a famine and millions of lives will be lost. Here it is just one life, right? And possibility that he will lose. Here it's genuine, it's going to be a mismanagement. And millions of lives can be lost. So now, wasn't it important for him to take on that position when he knows how to manage it, how to distribute it, and to see that throughout that period nobody dies? Wasn't it important? So understand these things here, rather than just reading some translation and jumping to conclusion. But nonetheless, we are talking about Ibadur Rahman. So the first point that Allah Pak is discussing is the servitude. And the verse before this also is talking about that humility. And we spoke about Yunus alayhi salam, and the students are firing the question at Mu'adh bin Guya rahmatullah alayhi. The Dawood Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this verse here, that don't count me as superior than Yunus alayhi salam. So the third reason why Rasulullah Pak speaks about Yunus alayhi salam is because of the event, because of the incident that took place, right? So when this thing took place, into the belly of a fish, so there was a possibility that people would be apprehensive about the man. So don't you have any type of misgiving and apprehension with this man here. If you do this, you will lose out. And the last explanation was given by the Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Students, especially when they are bright, they are encouraged to ask questions of your choice. But it must be relevant to the topic. Not now, you're talking about, for example, you're talking about namaz, and he's talking about going for umrah. So talk about things that are relevant to the topic, right? So first of all, try to explain to them with humility. That's like an outstanding quality of the human ulama. And if someone doesn't have that element of humility, he mustn't count himself from this group here. He's in a different room. Because this is an outstanding feature in them. Outstanding. And I stayed there, so I knew how the students behave, how the stars behave. But that was like a very outstanding feature. So Moses says to them, You see, the person that is with outstanding greatness, this is how he will count himself, that I am nothing. That's a sign that he is of some standing and status. That's how he'll talk about himself. Jews are not happy with this. Now, Mawlana used a different approach. And he says, see, how do you rate me? How will you rate me? Say, the best amongst us, right? And if I have to say something, will you believe me? He said, yes. And if I have to take an oath on this, then, well, then it's, you know, it's Nur Allah Nur, light upon light. Then there's no need to ever disbelieve you, you know, ever doubt you. He says, then, he says, I take an oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala that I count each one of you to be hundreds of times better than me. Wanted to say it, but he said it with such conviction they couldn't contain themselves. Burst out crying. I close the kitab and he's gone. As he comes the next day, he asks, Masla samaj mein aa gayi? You understood it? Hazrat, khoob samaj mein aa gayi. So one had to use that approach to make them understand. See, because it's a very, very refined thing, right? It's not a thing that you can understand in one truth. You talk about the Shaykh of Islam, rahmatullahi, the political thing, right? So now, the better thing for us, when it is very senior ulama, Buzurgan al-Din, right? They are very senior, and Buzurgan al-Din, and we don't have that understanding. Right? Provided they are senior, provided they are God-fearing in all facets of life, right? And if they've got one opinion on one subject, we don't have the right to condemn them. Yes, I can say I have a different opinion, but I can't criticize them. His knowledge is perfect. We don't see the discrepancy in his taqwa. We see a consistent style in his entire life. But he's got a different view on politics, right? And when he's got a different view, and he's got grounds, like I said, Yusuf alayhi salam is taking employment under a kafir state, right? Now someone can say, but how can you ever work under a kafir? How can you do it, right? You can say that. Right? So, why is he taking that position? He's taking that position because he sees similar thing like Yusuf alayhi salam. If he's not going to jump the bandwagon now, it will result in the killings of millions of Muslims. He had to jump on, right? Just to save life. Someone senior, someone with a clout, someone with courage, courageous. He had to join the bandwagon to save millions of lives. And it happened afterwards. You see the turn of the events, how it happened after that. And, you know, from where, how things do unravel, then millions of lives would have gone. So, 1947, right? So millions of lives would have gone, one has stood up, and then lives were saved. So he had to save the integrity of Muslims, their property, and their deen. Right? Had to take the stance. And it was a difficult stance, not a simple thing. And when I say he had to take the stance, he took the stance with all sincerity, with yaqeen Allah Ta'ala. He didn't just do it casually, he did it with conviction. When he did it with conviction now there must be some substantiation. Now imagine there's a parliament session carrying on. Nehru is the prime minister, Maulana is in the parliament, right? And he blankly refused to take any official position. He blankly refuses to take any political position. Here, Maulana stands up, and for approximately 45 minutes in a political session, he gives it to Nehru. Gives it to him. Lucknow, that's where the session is taking place. And Nehru comes out complaining, Mawlana, you're putting such burden on us, we can't manage. It's a political session. Mullah is not a member of the parliament, but he took a 45-minute slot and is giving it to him. Any person that is joining in politics, has he got the heart, the clout to do such a thing? Now, Nehru is complaining against the Shaykh of Islam that you keep putting such burdens on us that we can't manage to execute them. Mullah had the stick in his hand and he turned it like this. He says, get off the chair. This chair is not for people that are not worthy. It's easy to say, you know, Mullah the Kabir also went to politics. But do you have the heart like them? They risk their lives, their wealth, their property, their integrity, everything, just to save the simple Muslim, millions of them, to save them, to save Islam, their madrasas, masjids, etc. Just to save them, you have to take this step. And I say, if you read the history of India properly, you would have come to the conclusion that if you had not taken that step, lives would have just been gone. Massacre. It could be a huge massacre. Mullah went into the right time and he saved the situation. But because we don't read these things there, we don't understand it, so we say these type of things. So our Ustad, who taught us Shamail, right? Our Fakhrul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi, around that time he was leaving Lahore to come towards Deoband. Now he's in the railway station. One person very shabbily looked at the Ustad is sitting. He's explaining, right? Shabbily, his hair is all disheveled, kapre ka tikarani. So he sees Mullah Fakhrul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi and he's boarding the train and it seems like it's going to Delhi, right? Going, heading in that direction. Because that time there was a border from Amritsar coming to Delhi, right? So he asked Mullah Fakhrul Hasan Sahib, are you going to Delhi? He said, yes. Please, for Allah Pak's sake, go to Mullah Hussain Ahmad Madani, ask him for forgiveness. Because when the political strife was going on, right, I was not for him. I was going against him. I was saying, see, it's mania. It's going with the Hindus. Right? And we had the audacity to take our pants before him, to humiliate him. Right? But Mullah himself, and he told his satis, don't do anything, don't say a word, don't look at them, just in a dignified approach, just move on, don't do anything. We did this, we embarrassed him, we disgraced him, we did everything. And he was, I was a multi-billionaire. Not a millionaire, I was a multi-billionaire. India got this type of people. We haven't seen it, but I know about it, I've seen something. So wealthy, I was so wealthy, right? But ever since I did this, and my properties just began to go, wealth began to go, my children had deserted me, my wife, no home. Now I'm using the railway station as an abode. Now I have nothing, absolutely nothing. I lost everything. What happened? So you see this quality of servitude. And we don't know these things. We know the finer details. And it's not for them to explain all the finer details to all and sundry. Some persons have got the capacity to understand. And a huge percentage of people don't have the capacity. And there's a third group who will misconstrue for their own convenience, right? Alaysa min qawli kaza, alaysa min qawli kaza. They use Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah for the same. The Qadriya, who didn't believe in Taqdeer, they looked for one statement, his bayans. See what he said this. And they are circulating their own conspiracies, looking at some sentences of his out of context. They put it out of context and they're circulating it. So this always happened with great people, right? وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. See, look for faults in innocent people. Innocent people, in the Quran says, they read the Quran says, they look for faults there. Right? Yeah. Somehow, some false side. Like they would say that you kill an animal, right? You slaughter, you kill it, and you count it halal. But Allah Ta'ala kills something and you count it haram. Now, the only person, can you understand this properly? But see the fronting. The front is given like this, يَبْغُونَهَا إِوَجَا, looking for force in the Quran Sharif. So this jamaat of people were there and will be there. Right? They, you can't rule it out, they will be there. So now the other haq, now they have to come and defend and give the right explanation, make you understand why this is halal, why that is haram, right? Like you say now, the woman that is in your house, you say she's haram, your mother, your sister. But the outside woman, go and marry her, is halal. Hey, how are you doing ulta sida things? See that? So, these people have got in their minds to find faults. So the right thing also they will find faults. So now, that is why the important thing is that you don't listen to everybody and anybody. Bayans, clips, etc. Because you can have a straight and a clear mind. But the person is talking in a way that he confuses your mind. When you confuse your mind now, you lost regards for the person, you got respect for him. I said, now let me do my own thing. So now, he's saying something and he's saying something different, so I must just do my own thing. But now you see, so you take on to some person, you screen the person first, see, is he a man of truth? Is he inclined to popularity and wealth? Or is he committed himself to the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Where, which category does he fall in? Right? Does he fall into one category, this category, or the other category? Which category he falls in? So you need to see all these things here. Where is his allegiance lies? His allegiance lies in Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's a different person. And his allegiance lies with people, then he's a different person. See? Primarily, your allegiance lies with who? See? Some days ago, so there's a wedding, right? And now the wedding is now to make it more and more exciting, more thrilling. So I've been hearing several stories. In the emails you get these stories coming up, right? When I came up again. So the girl will be on the stage, so the boy has to climb up, go onto the stage before the wife-to-be, and he has to bow down to her. Right? That I heard about this. For you it's new, but I hear this thing all the time, right? And he has to go and bow down before her, right? And then otherwise there will be some ring, whatever happens, whatever tamasha happens. Now, one person in the audience, he couldn't manage, right? He couldn't stomach this. Though now, he's also wealthy and classes that he's working with all wealthy people. Both sides, the boy side and the girl side, both are related, perhaps a nephew and niece, and they're getting married, right? So he couldn't hold this any longer. He went up to the stage and he blasted them one time. Give it to them. Right? And in the process he had a heart attack. Right? So now that chacha is asking, was it the right thing that I did or was it the wrong thing that I did? Now I can imagine now, today's young ulama, what they will say. I can imagine very well. Right? So this is now Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, right? To encourage the right and stop the evil. So at one level it is for us. The level that is for us is where people are in agreement with you, right? Generally, they are in agreement, whatever you say, it goes, right? Maybe it's one, two people that are not in agreement, but generally people are in agreement with you. So then it's for us for you to say it. Because they're in agreement with what you say, and they take direction from you, then you need to spell it out to them that this is wrong. But if it is that majority are not in agreement, then it's not for us, then too it is mustahab to do it, right? To correct it, right? So when they asked me about this thing, so I said, see, look at two hadiths, right? And you must keep these things in mind, otherwise you're not doing justice to Islam. So the one hadith says, من أحب لله وأبغض لله, you hate a situation of a person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then that's a sign of perfection of iman, right? The other hadith says that the malaika are commanded to overturn the entire city, destroy them, right? Because لم يتمعر فيه وجهه, there were wrongs that were taking place and he didn't even raise a bow,
He didn't even raise a brow. Now you add the two hadiths here. Here you like or you dislike for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And here there's a discrepancy. And we didn't even raise a brow at that. And as a result, the whole town went, finished. Whereas that person always in ibadah, zikr, always. But when he saw the wrong, then he didn't even raise the brow. So Allah said, just wipe them out, all of them. I don't want to see them. See that? Can you see that? So in the process, he had a heart attack. Now you will not say this was a divine punishment, no. Why you will not say it was a divine punishment? Because Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, he didn't have to say Ahad, Ahad loudly. He did take the initiative, he took the courage to say Ahad. As being smashed down, hit down, burning sands of Arabia, is burned, the charbi and the fat is coming out, and nothing will stop him from saying Ahad, Ahad. Right? But it was not compulsory for him to say this. But he went and did this. So the honor that he received after that was he was the first muazzin in the whole history of Islam. Although Abdullah bin Zayd had seen the dream about the azan, and that's where it started off, but the first person who had the honor of giving out the azan, calling out the azan, was Bilal, right? In Medina Munawwar. Then, on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, the first person that is calling out the azan on the roof of the Kaaba Sharif is Bilal Adiyam. To honor Makkah and Medina. Right? Then apart from that, then after some time, after Abu Bakr had passed on, Bilal had gone to Sham, right? In Sham, people forced him to give out the azan. When he gave out the azan, the whole Sham was in tears. They can't hold themselves. It's not just the memory of Nabi Sassan, but his voice had that attraction. See, the sacrifice that he went through. So because of the sacrifice, his voice had that attraction. See, in the Jamaat, one is how Ibrahim Devla gave 65, 70 years of his life. So he'll give a simple talk and we all moved, right? Aren't we? And now we give a dynamic talk for the most, what a dynamic talk. But it doesn't last. أَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُسُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That froth, you know, the ocean is active, right? So there's a lot of froth that comes up. So that froth is of no use. Ma yanfa'u an-nas. It's of no value, right? Froth, any value. It comes up and then the waves throw it away, right? But ma yanfa'u an-nas, but what is beneficial, you know, after a heavy flood, so the froth comes up, that thing is thrown away. But what is beneficial to the farm and to the land is the water. That thing remains. So that is so simple, sada, simple like Ibrahim Devla, but that's the actual benefit. This thing is there for the show. For that moment, it's given that show, that impact, etc. And then it's just thrown out. فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُسُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That thing remains. So we're talking about this Ibadur Rahman, just showing our akabir and the importance of following these people here. Why do we impress about them? Why? Impress upon them because when the hadith speaks about istiqamat, right, what it says, the ulama gives the explanation, what is the meaning of istiqamat? Istiqamat, they say, in two words, they say, alayka bi taqwa Allah wal istiqamah. Hold on to taqwa and istiqamah. Ittabi' wa la tabtadi'. Follow. Learn to follow and don't innovate. So then who do you follow? Right. So the first line was, alayka bi taqwa Allah wal istiqamah. See, I'm coming up for Ramadan, right? And the prudent thing is from now we start preparing ourselves for that mindset. Right. Just taking the notes is good, but more than that is alayka. That thing must be part of you. So, I give you a diet plan. You eat this, don't have sugars, all that, right? The notes are very brilliantly. But is that the more important thing, or to apply the diet plan? That's the more important. What's more important? to apply the thing, that's more important. Right? You may have not written everything, but you understood it and you applied the thing. So the important thing is to apply it. But now, again, ittabi' wa la tabtadi'. So follow and don't innovate. Don't bring your own things. Then who do you follow? You will follow first Khulafa'i Rashidin, right? Because Rasul earmarked them. These are the special people. And he stamped them Mahdiyin. He didn't only say follow them, but he endorsed them that they're Mahdiyin. They are divinely guided. Alaykum bi sunnati al-Khulafa'i Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. He's already endorsed them that they are Mahdi, finished. Each one of them has been supported divinely. So that means when he's endorsed them, then it's impossible that they go off the course. They'll be on course. Because Rasulullah has endorsed them. Thereafter the Sahaba, obviously they are the greatest, then the rest of the Sahaba Ikram according to their merit, etc. Right? Follow them. And after that, you know, the hadith says, Khairul Quruni Qarni, that until the head of them. My generation, after them, the one that comes after. So in the light of the hadith we say, those in every zamana that are closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, closest to the Khulafa'i Rashidin, closest to the Sahaba Kiram. So when we did a study of our Buzunganadin, then I'm not saying it with bias, right? Allah knows, I'm not saying it with bias. Well, in this place that I am, right, ulama from everywhere come here. Whether it's Palestine, Medina, Makkah, America, Australia, everybody comes, right? The Jamaats will come, and the Jamaatul Azam will come and see the madrasa also. So, you get to see all these people, right? All different people doing. So I haven't seen any ulama as comprehensive as our ulama. I haven't seen it. I don't make a claim that they're the best, but I haven't seen it, right? But they are those leading ulama-i kiram that went onto the way of the Akabir. So these people are outstanding, right? There will be some that didn't hold so firm, and there will be those that held very firm. Right? Now, this is my experience, right? Al-Mawd Thami Sahib Rahmatullah says that I saw in a dream, right, that you want to meet Khalil Pasha, a Turkish great alim and a buzurg, and someone is telling him, why don't you meet him? Mawd says that I understand that he's a saintly person, but I've got one saintly person that is guiding me, right? When I've got him, then I don't see the need to find another guide, because there are different roads to Makkah Mukarrama, right? One is from Karachi, right? And the other is from Bombay. So if I have taken the road from Karachi to Makkah Mukarrama, then I don't need to take another road again. But you didn't leave from Bombay and experience that as well, right? So the idea is to reach Makkah Mukarrama. So if that buzurg is taking me, reaching me to that end, then what's the need for me to duplicate and go from this road as well? So anyway, in the dream they couldn't answer that one, obviously. But in all truth, I haven't related the whole thing to Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Okay, this is the dream that I've seen, and this is the answer that I've given. The hadith have complimented me for my reasoning and my answering, right? But he says, alright, you would have gone, you have gone of your own accord, that wouldn't have been right. But now I'm instructing you, go and meet him. You see, Abu Dhanadin, they were not, they have short sight or constricted in their thinking. But they also impressed upon you that don't do your things your own self. See the teaching that we got, a su'alu nisful iman, a nisful ilm, right? To ask is half a knowledge, right? To ask is half the knowledge. Small doubt you got, your mind is not clear, find out and clear the mind. Rather than do your own thing. Why? Ittabi' wa la tabtadi'. Ask and don't innovate. Ask and don't innovate. Ask, find out. Small reservation you got, 0.5% of a reservation you got, find out and you will get the clarity. But if you didn't find out, then you will be, I can assure you, anybody for that matter, if you didn't find out, you will be in a mental turmoil. you won't have that type of mental clarity as desired. So when you don't have that, then you don't have that type of drive. And you're asking, why you don't have the drive? Because you don't have that mental clarity. See, the road is something that's jamming the road. Do you have that clear road? Can you drive with speed? Why? There's something obstructing. And because of the obstruction, you don't have the speed. So the same, your mind is not absolutely clear. So you need to clear that mind. Look at Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu, right? He's a Jewish rabbi, the biggest Qaynuqa. You can't find a rabbi like him. And he's heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's seen the predictions in the kitab, in their kitab, the Torah, right? And now he has to see it himself. So he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that something about Qiyamah, right? How will people be gathered on the day of Qiyamah? He gives the answer. And what will be the first food that will be served to the Jannatis? Then the liver, the additional part of the liver. Then why does the boy, or why does the child resemble the father at times, and why does he resemble the mother at times, right? So, you talk about the uterus and the fluid, right? So which fluid goes first, then the child resembles, if the man's fluid goes in first into the uterus, then the child will resemble the father. Otherwise, the other way around, right? Whoever's fluid goes in first. So, Abdullah bin Salam says, you know, only a Nabi can give this type of answer, and I believe in you, right? So, Yusuf says, I also didn't know the answer. Jibreel Salam came and showed it to me now. Right? See that? Showed it to me now. But the whole basis is about asking. Now, imagine if Abdullah bin Salam had that reservation, is he a Nabi, and he didn't ask. What would have happened? Would he have got the honor of coming into Islam? Again, you see in Salman Farsi, he's got a reservation, he's looking for the truth. For the last 30 some odd years, looking for the truth. Going from one side, made into slavery and all that. So eventually, he hears about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he's a slave, he's attending to some of the date trees, right? Then he hears about it and he jumps from that height, he jumps down. Hey, what do people, he's talking to his boss, what do you people been discussing? Hey, one heart, tight, tamasha, slap. You go do your job. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about this thing here. Said, he couldn't appease me. I went myself. After Isha, whatever my job, I attend to all my job. I took some dates, sadaqah. I said, give it to other people. And the first thing I found is now conforming to our scriptures. Looking for the truth. But I have to have a clear mind. And my mind is clear, then I can accept it wholeheartedly. But about some reservation, no, yes, say, nay. So I'm creating a turmoil for myself, an impediment for myself. Why must I? I don't need that. I need to have a clear passage. Ramadan coming now, I need to be absolutely clear, I need to be flying. But that flying comes when you humble yourself. And then humility requires that you ask, you find out. You ask about yourself. Now, come here, don't ask about, all right, this madrasa, that one. Now and then you ask, all right. But the major concern is myself. That's why now Sun Sabram says, you're doing this work here for your reformation. But you come in for someone else's reformation, you're gone. He was a genius. When I see his kitab, his writings, I don't think the world can produce someone like him. He was such a brilliant person. So in his diary he writes, right, see, I remain silent, don't think I am not acquainted, I'm acquainted. Right? But there's a reason for him remaining absolutely silent. He will hardly speak. But when he speaks, then the gems just come out, just flow. Right? So he says, you go in this work here for your reformation, not to reform others. If you're going to reform others, you will get destroyed as well. Because, I mean, look at what he's doing. Spying on him, spying on this person here, and then despising this one here and despising the next person, I say, will I be making progress or retrogress? I'm going for my Islah. Hey, I didn't do it. I was making istighfar, worried about it. Maybe I didn't speak right. Maybe my intentions were all flawed, you know. So I must correct myself. So all the time, you'll be respecting others and despising yourself. And the other way around, you'll become respectful of yourself, looking for self-admiration and despising others. So that's how the whole thing will turn around. So you see this Ibadur Rahman. Azajan will do this about Ibadur Rahman. But now this is a threshold. You can't progress without this. You know, after years in this game here, game is not the right word, in this whole tasawuf for years, though I should speak about it, but now you can see it real, right? You don't have that humility, you can't progress. You make some zikr, this side, that side, make some, have some kifiyat, etc. But that's not the proof of progress. The proof of progress is the level of humility, how humble you are. How humble you are. And that's the point of your escalation. Like it or don't like it, but that's the condition. The more you humble yourself. Now these people are humble and they listen to these people here. Now look at their style. I said, as I gave the story. Right? So it's a simple Muslim farmer by trade, and he has to go through the tali. Tali is a person, oil merchant, right? Olden days, however they're doing it, right? The tali is a Hindu. So that Hindu is mocking him, and he says, see, is your beard better than the beard of my goat? So the Muslim is quiet. But you'll understand just now why he was quiet, why he remained silent. Second time, all the time he's mocking at him. But just minutes before he could pass away, he made a bequest to his household that my beer, my janaza, must pass this Hindu shop. So as he's passing the Hindu shop, he sits up on the bier, looks at that Hindu, says, Alhamdulillah, I can say today that my beard is better than the beard of your goat because I have died with iman. But see where his nazar was. See where his sight was. His sight was al-ibratu al-khawatim. Now this is what happens with this type of association. See, that association brings about that type of end. But that association requires, then what level of humility are you showing? Ke do baat aapko sunayenge, to that's too much, you can't take it. Ek baat usko sunaya to, can't take it. Yeah, you say, why, very good man, very pious, you are so good getting for the tahajjud. Then you carry on. But agar ek baat usko sikhaya, one word you told the person, you can't take it. But you see this line, how Allah Baksa, Ibadur Rahman. And makes me think about Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, the famous story where the hands came off from the Rosa Mubarak, right? So he says, Sayyid Ahmad, he says, in the cases that he handled, right, where Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, he couldn't help, right? He made it work. He made it work. Man couldn't make it work, he made it work. So you can understand what was the level of his maqam, right? So he says, you know, I've seen this path here, going the path, the ups and the downs, the width and the breadth, I've seen everything, right? I've seen the whole thing. But there are two things that expedite this journey. One is doing things looking at the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, Asmat. So that proportion to that understanding will be the humility. When you understand the magnanimity, relate to that, that will bring about the humility. But you don't understand the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, the Asmat of Allah Ta'ala, can you be humble? Can't be. It's impossible. How much you understand and recognize His greatness, right? That is why, on the day of Qiyamah, right? See in Bukhari Sharif, right? When the different Anbiya, alayhim as-salam, are asked to intercede, and they're saying, hey, this is not us, this is not our position. And they're saying, nafsi, nafsi, right? They're all saying that this is not our position. Why? They understood the magnanimity of Allah Ta'ala, and that brought them to this level to say, that's not our position. Had they not understood the magnanimity and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, they wouldn't have said this thing here. Either. So he says, understand that. And that will bring about the humility. So one thing that brings about the expediting this journey is to what level you recognize Allah Ta'ala, the Azmat, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And the second thing, again, Ibadur Rahman, right? The second thing that expedites the journey is, what's the level of kindness? At every level, right? Every level, but what's the level of the kindness? So these two things bring about the expediting in this whole journey, right? So you see this, how Allah Pak starts this off, Ibadur Rahman. The slaves of Allah Ta'ala, the slaves of the most compassionate. So you need to get these two things right. That's the foundation. And then you see flying. But now, you want to see yourself flying without this, then if you're asking for a 100-story building without a foundation, kya hoga? You'll come up and you'll break. You'll come up and you'll collapse. If you're going on, outwardly going on, mentally you're not right. There's something, some discrepancy, something that is not right mentally, that is not bringing about the speed that is desired. So there's a speed that is desired, but you can't see the speed that is desired. Why? Because of this. See this, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ. And then it starts off with humility. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And they walk, they tread with humility. That at any given time, they are overwhelmed with the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. That makes them humble at every step. Kush nahi hai. Lillahi maafis. Allah Ta'ala is everything and we are nothing. He is everything and we are nothing. So that brings about the humility, looking at the earth, that we are made of this, returning to this. Right? And then the earth, right, brings about the vegetation that sustains life, right? And then you look at how you sustain life, that earth requires that fertilizer. So that's your essence, right? You are that dirt and that filth. So when you examine yourself, can you ever think that you are worth anything? Right? Examine, see where you came from, and see what is required to sustain the crop. It's just filth, right? So that's yourself. So is there any reason for you now to feel proud of yourself? See, it's Ibadur Rahman. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَوْ وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَوْلُ سَلَامًا. Now that is within their own selves. Think nothing. Absolutely nothing. But then, the world is full of varieties, right? Full of variety. You see, white, black, yellow, green, all types, all colors. So that brings about the excitement in life. It's all one color, right? All one type, right? So one white man is standing on Muslim yard. See, all are black, white, all colors, dark black and brown. We all white, you know, one color. So Musliman can't khamosh rehta, we will keep quiet. The horse is all different colors, white, black, yellow, all colors. But the donkey is one color. Pig is one color. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So when you get this type of, this group of people that won't behave right, they won't talk right. They don't know what to say at which time. I was in the office now, and I need to get up a little bit swiftly. So I just wanted a little bit of balance. I came up, but one student is there now. He just heard a few things. So, yeah, that's why they say, jaldi ka kaam shaitani hai. No, it was another thing to say at that time. I laughed it out because I understood this person's level, right? What is level? But they don't know how to place things. So you get this jahil, right? Jahil, how do you reply? You shout them, you smash them down, qalu salama. Where you can make the islaq easily, then you do it. But otherwise, iza khatabahum al-jahiluna qalu salama. Salam got two meanings. One is assalamu alaikum. Yeah, salam is from tasallum. They will talk things, they will say things to avoid trouble. But, right? Salam, mera salam lena. So you say things that will avoid trouble. Just to end this thing up, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's story is quite popular. So one person is abusing him, insulting him. So you're going to get this. There won't be a situation, everybody is supportive of you. So Abu Bakr just talks the word of salam. What he says, if you are right, may Allah forgive me. And if I am right, may Allah forgive you. Now, Can you say anything to it? Can you add anything to it? Well, that's called Qawlu Salama. So you're going to get this lot of people. Now you don't have to become disturbed in your mind. What is Ulluka Kabab? Why is he talking like that? You don't talk. But that was his level of understanding. He spoke at his level. Let him speak class. But I must do what I need to do. What I need to do is say things to avoid trouble, to avoid a fight. Especially in this country, when we are in a minority, we can't show ourselves fighting, hitting, shouting, debating. We can't do these things here. We have to show what Islam really stands for. Allah Maktoufi.